Hello, and welcome to Sunday Sermon Burst. My name is Stephan De La Cruz, and I will be your pastor today. Today's sermon title is, Who to Blame? Today's scripture is found in Genesis chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. And this is what's going on. This is back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve have taken and eaten of the tree of good and evil, the tree that God had said to Adam, you can have any tree, any fruit in this garden, but that one, don't eat of its fruit. For the day you do, you will surely die. And this is where we find ourselves. They gave in to the temptation, the deception, the desire, the lust to have, to eat the fruit told not to eat of. So we are here in the conversation that God has come and asked of Adam, Adam, did you eat of the tree I told you not to? So we're going to join in on that discussion between God and Adam. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 12, and it reads like this. Then Adam said to God, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, the fruit, and I ate. Verse 13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And Eve said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The title of today's sermon is Who to Blame? As you can see here, if you read chapter 3, if you read Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, there's blame to go around for everyone. Have you ever been to a wedding reception? I think most of us have. Well, the one thing you will notice is that when the bride and the groom come over and stand by their wedding cake, this beautiful wedding cake, the bride will cut a piece of that cake and put it in the groom's mouth. It's a time of joyful, playful celebration. Many times we see the bride and the groom, they'll stuff that piece of cake in the mouth of their husband or their wife, and it usually turns out to be a messy kind of fun. I shared this example with you because I want to speak about Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden in chapter 3. Now, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, where is our scripture today, there is a similar circumstance happening where Eve brings not a piece of cake to Adam, but fruit to Adam to eat. Now, she doesn't push it or stuff it in his mouth, but she does lift it up. She offers it to Adam and says to him, eat. Now, if you don't know the whole story, this would seem pretty innocent, right? Hey, it's just a piece of fruit. It's his wife. He's her husband. So what's the problem here? Well, if you read Genesis chapter 2, you'll see that God had made a covenant with Adam when he placed him in the Garden of Eden. And he had said to Adam, hey, anything here is yours to eat. Whatever you see, any of the fruit, whatever you see here, you can have as much as you want and enjoy it. But that tree right there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat of that tree. And you can find that in Genesis chapter 2, 15. And it says it like this. The Lord God took the man he had created, which is Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Verse 17, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now God had told Adam and made it clear, so anything else here is all yours, but this one tree, don't eat the fruit of it. Pretty simple. You can have anything you want except this one thing. Now, Adam was aware and understood. He had been created by God. He had been given incredible intelligence and understanding. In fact, Adam spoke God's language and understood God's heart. Now, on this particular day in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, Eve had decided to take the advice from an enemy, the serpent. And you can find that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and on. Now, she had decided to take that advice from an enemy, but she didn't realize that the serpent that she was speaking to was an enemy. It was more of just a conversation with someone she knew. Now, the advice from this friend, let's just say, so-called friend, was that, hey, Eve, go ahead and taste the fruit to see if it truly is evil or if you'll die today. Hey, why don't we do that, you know? Maybe God wasn't telling the whole truth, maybe just part of the truth. So for those of you who know this story, you know that Eve did take of the fruit, and it says that she saw that it was good, and so she ate of it. And guess what? She didn't die. Nothing evil had happened to her. Nothing. Why? Well, stop and think about this for a moment. The covenant that was made was with Adam. And that covenant was made with Adam before Eve had been created. So it was Adam who was not allowed to eat from it, but Eve could, and nothing happened to her. As it is with all types of sin and temptation and lust, you know, it draws you in, that familiar sin, that familiar lust, and it pulls you back. And the Bible says that it's good for a season. It feels good, it tastes good, it's wonderful, and it's a place that you enjoy. And our friends that are around us, our so-called friends, they encourage us to go ahead, you know what, Bean, you're so holy and so righteous, you know, you're too far out there. You know, you gotta live a little. I think that's a lot of them say that to us. You have to live a little, you have to let go. You know, you can look, but you can't touch. So on and so on, you know, it's the advice of our so-called friends. And so us, you know, being encouraged by them and trusting them, we go along following after our own desires and our own lusts, not theirs, but ours. And even though we know, and many of us may know already where it's going to lead us, that familiar sin, we know where it's going to lead us. It leads to death and to a spiritual death. And yet we think to ourselves, it's not going to happen to me. I won't get caught. But guess what? Every single time since you were a young man, since you were a young woman, we get caught. It catches up to us. We get hurt. The guilt flows in and crushes us. Every single time from this familiar sin, knowing already what was going to happen, we still did it. Knowing that we should not go there and take of it or partake of it, we still go there. And so what happens? We die. We die to the good person, metaphorically speaking. We die to the good person we long to be. And we give birth to a sinful nature that we wish was not a part of us. There may be no immediate repercussions. There may not be any immediate punishment or death or sickness or disease. In fact, what we find is that after we've given in to our temptations and our lust and followed through, there's a season that it is pleasurable, enjoyable. In fact, some of us will go to the point of saying, wow, this is good. This feels great. And we just get caught up and get caught up and get deeper and deeper down that road. And it becomes a way of life that we enjoy with our familiar sin, not realizing that every time, every moment that we spend there, we die to the person that we long to truly be in God. But scripture says this, that in due season, if we continue down that path of this familiar sin, this lust, this desire, you and I put myself in there, you and I will reap death, not life. That's found in James chapter 1, verse 15. And I want you to understand, it's just a matter of time. It's coming. And you can live in that life as long as you want, but sooner or later, it catches up with you. You're no longer that young man. You're no longer that beautiful young woman. And time has passed. Now, it's time to pay up because you've been living in it so long, freely and taking all you want, but now it's time to pay up. And the Word of God says that the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. And I want you to think about that. It's not just a physical death. It's an emotional death. Metaphorically speaking, it is a mental death, a spiritual death. It's a death of your self-respect, and you begin to become consumed by it. Now, after Adam, let's go back to see what happened here with Adam. Now, after Adam had eaten the fruit that God said, to Adam, don't eat. The Bible says that both of their eyes were open and they felt ashamed that they were naked and began to cover themselves with leaves. That's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. It's when Adam ate that both of their eyes were open. So this is something spiritual going on that's happening to both of them, yet they're in a natural environment. And why do I say this here? Because I want you to know that there's a course, there's a series that I have on my website that's called The 9 Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I talk about living by faith, or should we live by works? In that series, I also briefly touch on the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit and how we are to use them in our lives today. So if you're interested in something like that, I encourage you to stop by and take a listen to that series called The 9 Gifts. Back to the scriptures here. So the Bible says in chapter 3, God came looking. This is after Adam and Eve had eaten, their eyes were open, they felt ashamed, and they were hiding themselves, they were covering themselves. So God comes looking for Adam, and he called out to Adam, "Where are you, Adam?" Now God did not call out to Adam because he didn't know where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to know where God was, where he was. He wanted Adam to know, "Hey, I'm here, you can come to me." Adam instead replied to God, "I am here hiding." And God asked him, "Why are you hiding?" And Adam said, "Because I am naked." And God said to him, "Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" Now here's what's interesting, because it's not being said here and it's not being spoken, but if you read this and understand what God is doing here, God is giving Adam an opportunity to speak, to say something. So let's move on here, I'll address in just a moment what that opportunity was meant for. Now, according to Scripture, Adam's reply is this. Adam said, "The woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit to eat." Now, listen to that. What was the first thing that Adam did? He blamed his beautiful, godly wife from God. He said, "The woman that you gave me, she gave me this fruit." As far as Adam was concerned, there was enough blame to go around. Adam blamed the woman. Then Adam blamed God. And God turned to Eve and spoke with her. And Eve said, "The serpent tricked me." So God turned to the serpent and spoke to the serpent. So if you want to know the rest of that story, you can go ahead and continue reading Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and on. What I want to bring to your attention here is Adam's reply. You see, Adam knew the covenant, the rules about the tree of good and evil. When Adam was created, God had placed in him great wisdom and knowledge and understanding. In fact, Adam was so intelligent, he was able to name every creature on the planet. Think about that. He had a name for everything he saw. Today, our scientists run out of names when trying to name stars that we see in the heavens and the universe. So what they do is they give each star that they see a number and a letter. Makes it simpler for them. So imagine, Adam was able to name every single creature and didn't run out of names. Psalms 147, verses 4 through 7. Adam had been created as a perfect human, having the ability to speak God's language and to know God's heart. But here, In this moment, after taking and eating of the fruit, his eyes had been opened. So this opening, this revelation, it took something from him. It destroyed him. It crushed him. And instead of asking for forgiveness, and here's the thing that God gave him the opportunity to do. You see, if you go back into the scripture, verses 12, 13, and 14, it says, "And God said to him, Adam, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" Right there, God had given him an opportunity to actually ask for forgiveness. But what do we see Adam doing here? He blames those around him. The pain of it all and the guilt rushes in of being violated, of being deceived by someone he loved, his wife. Sin now begins to take over. Hurt begins to take over. He finds himself alone. He finds himself naked and ashamed, and he hides. He even hides from his own wife, the one that was made perfect for him, that they were a perfect fit. He hides from her because this is what sin has done to this incredible, perfect human creature that God made with his own hands and breathed life into him. So the pain of it all and the guilt rushed in, and he found himself alone and hurt. And you know what happens when we are hurt? We want to hurt others, specifically those who caused us hurt and pain, who sinned against us, who violated us, who betrayed us. Let's imagine for a moment. What if Adam had made this statement or approached God this way instead of blaming others? "God, I am the one who ate of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. The tree that you had told me I was not to eat the fruit of. I know my sin is great and I have failed. And I ask you, God, in all your grace and love, that you would forgive me of my sins. I alone take the blame and whatever punishment for this disobedience. Forgive me, God. Forgive me of my rebellious, sinful heart." Imagine for a moment what would have happened if Adam had accepted full responsibility. We could be living in a whole different world today. Now, what about you? What have others done to you? I know that there is a lot of hurt out there as you listen. Some of you were abused by your father and others by your mother. Some of you were abandoned, forgotten, and told that you would never amount to anything. Others of you were betrayed by people you trusted. And some of you were just hurt by strangers. But the hurt and the shame of what happened to you has left scars on your soul. And you have lived alone with it all this time. Don't be like Adam, where he ran and he hid. And he tried to cover himself with leaves because of his shame. And then he began to blame everyone else instead of taking responsibility of what he could change. Adam blamed his wife, his loving, caring, beautiful wife, the woman that God had given to him as a gift, created perfect so that they could both live in harmony and help each other. Imagine if Adam had just said, "Forgive me. It was my fault. I allowed it to go this far. When I knew what was right, I should have stopped it back then, but I didn't." Imagine where Adam and Eve would be today if they had taken a different approach. Now, for some of you, the years have passed by from the time that the hurt, the betrayal that was committed against you happened. You're an adult and you're grown now, and you continue to feel the hurt, the shame, and the pain of that moment. Today, as you're listening to this message, I want to encourage you. Instead of blaming the others that have hurt you, betrayed you, I want to encourage you to take a step towards God and say, "God, forgive me, for I have sinned." And if you're a Christian that flows back and forth with that familiar sin, you know you shouldn't go there. You know you shouldn't be there. You know you shouldn't be with that man or that woman. You know this. But that familiar sin, that familiar lust, that familiar temptation has a hold on you. I want you to also take a step towards God, and let's leave all that behind us. If the healing, the restoration, and the blessings are to flow again in your life, it has to begin with you. You may ask, For those of you who didn't have a choice, who didn't have a say of what happened to you, you may ask of God, why do I need to ask for forgiveness? I'm not the one who started this. This is true, but you are the one that continues to hold on to the anger and the hatred and the unforgiveness. And do you have every right? Yes, you do. But this is where grace comes in. The grace that God shared with you when the Word of God says, the Bible says that while you and me were enemies of God, we hated God. He gave us, He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our sins and our punishment and die on a cross that was meant for us. That's the grace that God gave you, that God gave me. God had every right to not forgive us. God had every right to continue to be angry with us. God had every right to hate us because we were His enemy and we wanted nothing to do with Him. But grace, that beautiful, gentle grace of what is undeserving to someone who is your enemy, to someone who has betrayed you. God gave that to you. He forgave you. He forgave me. He forgot His anger and He put away His hatred. And instead, He gave us love and kindness. And He took us and picked us up. And He gave us joy. And He gave us hope that was stolen from us. So it is your time, your opportunity here as you are listening. You can be like Adam and say, hey, God, the woman you gave me, the gift you gave me, the life you gave me, hey God, the job that you gave me, hey God, this day that you gave me caused all this pain. It's their fault. It's not my fault. So who's to blame? There's so many people, so many things we can blame, including God. But I want to encourage you, don't be like Adam and continue to blame others. Now is your moment, and God is ready to restore you, to give you hope again, to give you a new life. All I'm asking of you is, will you take a step towards God? If this message is speaking to you and you are that person that wants to take a step towards God, and let's go before God, instead of being like Adam and blaming others and who's to blame, let's ask for forgiveness. Then I would like you to join me in this prayer. All you have to do is repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I come before you now. I come with all my brokenness and just the way I am, with all my hurt and all my pain. Only you know what has happened to me and the shame and the anger that I carry. I take this first step towards you, Jesus. Forgive me for continuing on this path. Help me to live, to be free of my shame. Lord Jesus, forgive me of that familiar sin that so easily draws me away from you. Help me and take it from my life. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins, and I accept your forgiveness in my life. I take you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus. Pour your Spirit in me and make me new. Renew my thoughts, renew my hopes and my dreams. I accept your Holy Spirit into my life. Thank you, Jesus, for I know that I am new this day. Amen. Amen and amen. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, or you have reconnected with God again through this prayer, I want to encourage you to find a church this week, a church that preaches the whole Bible and teaches the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to settle there in that church that you feel welcomed in and begin to build a new life, a new relationship with God. Also, I would love to hear your testimony. When you get a chance, send me an email and update me on how God has blessed you. Now, please join me on my next Sunday Sermon Burst. When you get a chance, check out my website at thelanguageofgod.net. I hope you have enjoyed this message. If you have been blessed by today's message, please share it with someone this week and let them know God is in control. If you have any comments, You can connect with me at Facebook or by email. You can find this information at my website, thelanguageofgod.net. When contacting me, please include the podcast title you are commenting on. Also, you can subscribe at my website to be notified when I upload new content. Go to the bottom of the main page, and on your left, you will see the sign up. It's free. Now go and enjoy your life. Smile again. Laugh again. Believe again. Together, we will finish this race. I encourage you to live. Break free of the things holding you back and live. Shake off the chains that hold you down. Rise up. Dust yourself off and get back into the race and live again. If you thirst for life, come and drink from the river of life that flows from the throne of God. I say, come and drink. Thank you. Have a great day, and remember, you are not alone.